This morning I would like to preach a sermon from the Old Testament, so if you will, jump with me way back to the Old Testament, in particularly 2 Kings 22 and chapter 23. We'll be there in 2 Kings and also in 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35. If you know your Old Testament, you're aware that there were quite a few men in the Old Testament that were mighty reformers. A reformer would be a person that would be used to change the situations that were at hand, altering them, making them better, restoring them to a better condition. I'd like to entitle this sermon, Josiah the Mighty Reformer. I'm telling you that I get blessed by reading about Josiah. Just like Asa and Hezekiah, Jehu and Ezra and Nehemiah and others, this guy, this king, was a mighty, mighty reformer. If you would read those books, those chapters that I mentioned, those four chapters, 2 Kings 22 and chapter 23 and 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, you'd find out that this man came to the throne at the age of 8. His father was assassinated at the age of 24. He only reigned for 2 years. He was a vile, evil man. And he was killed in his palace. He was assassinated there. And the people made Josiah at the age of 8 king of Judah. Now that's an amazing thing to me. Certainly he had counselors. I mean, what could an 8-year-old boy do as far as making rational, sound decisions and ruling millions of people? Well, I believe he was sort of a puppet king at this time. And we find out about 8 years later. Now this is found in 2 Chronicles 34 verse 3. At the age of 16, 8 years after he began his reign, he began to seek God. How sad it is that so many that are 16, the last thing that they would ever set their heart on doing would be seeking God. But that was not how Josiah was. This man at the age of 16 went ahead and began to seek God. Now you might be asking at this point, well, what in the world are you talking about seeking God? How can I really know what seeking God is? We're told to seek God with all of our heart. We're told that repeatedly in the Old Testament. If you remember when we were studying through the book of Daniel, there is a very clear verse, Daniel 9:13, that tells us what it means to seek God. In Daniel 9:13, the Word of God declares that we seek God by turning from our sins and, number two, giving attention to God's truth. Well, this is exactly what young teenage Josiah did. This young man was very serious about a very important issue in his life. Thank God that he was. He went ahead and he turned from the sin that he was aware of. We're going to find out as the story progresses, there were a lot of problems rampant in the kingdom he was king over that he wasn't really aware of because he had limited understanding. Because at this point in time, Hilkiah the priest didn't find the book of the law. It was like part of the Bible was gone and they didn't know what it actually said. A national revival broke out after Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. At the age of 16, he began to seek God. At the age of 20, now this is 2 Chronicles 34 verses 3 through 7, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of things used for idolatry. And at the age of 26, 18 years now after he was put in this office as king of Judah, a very important event occurred. What a moment it was when Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law. Let me tell you what happened. They were already restoring the temple. The temple was broken down, idolatry all over the place. Gives you an idea of the wretched spiritual environment that was rampant then. We see his grandfather Manasseh was greatly responsible for the idolatry of that time, as was Solomon and Jeroboam. Well, this man, at the age of 26 now, he's still working, cleaning up the land, and they wanted to pay the workers, the ones that were working on the temple, money for their labors. And they were bringing the money out of the temple when the priest found the book of the law. He told Shaphan, the secretary to the king, about the book of the law. Shaphan took it to the king, read it to the king. When he found out what the real spiritual condition was, he immediately ripped his clothes. And the Bible tells us that he was weeping. The next thing he did, now he didn't ponder this for a long time and wonder, now if I do what I know I should do, what will my family think? I wonder what my friends will say. What will the others think of the king? After all, I'm in a very prestigious position. I should act respectable. I shouldn't go off the deep end. Well, we find out that immediately this mighty reformer went ahead, sent word throughout the land, had everybody, from the least to the greatest, meet at the temple. He personally read from the book of the law that was just found. And he said he was going to seek the Lord in an unusual kind of a way. And I'll tell you one thing I greatly admire about Josiah was not only his example, but the one-sentence summary of his life. This is found in 2 Kings 23:5. You want to remember Josiah? This is how you can do it. 2 Kings 23:25. Remember him by this verse. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all of his heart and with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. You see, Josiah didn't go ahead and say, well, I like this part over here, this verse here. I like this. Now, this verse over here, I'm not too fond of. This one here goes a little cross-grained to how I want things to be. It says, according to all of the law of Moses. He took the whole thing in. And this man was serious about it. I mean, he wasn't playing a game because this isn't a game. This is serious and he knew it. He sought God with all he had. You know, isn't that the greatest commandment? Didn't Jesus say, Mark 12:30, we're to love God with all of our soul, strength, mind? That's exactly what he did. All that he had within him. After he went ahead and proclaimed to the people what he was going to do right at the temple, after he read through this discovered book of the law that Moses wrote down, the people there likewise pledged themselves to clean up the area. Are you ready for an enlightening passage? 2 Kings 23, you're going to have to see this. If you didn't bring nothing but the New Testament, unfortunately, you've missed something temporarily. You could read it later. In 2 Kings 23, I'd like you to see about 17 things that this man did. I want you to see how this man sought after God, as the record shows, the inspired record shows, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Starting at 2 Kings 23, verse 4, we read this. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priest next in rank, and the doorkeeper, to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah, and all the starry host. Now, where were they? In the temple of the Lord. Now, you get an idea of how apostate the Jewish people were at this time. How far they had drifted away from the scriptural commands. Boy, isn't it just like the devil to try to get the Bible away from the people of God, or just to give them a limited picture of what the truth is and to hide the full picture. Paul said he did not hesitate to preach the whole counsel of God. The whole picture is what people need to know. Well, it was so bad that idolatry actually crept right into the temple of the Lord. Now, I want you to see that this man was intolerant. I like to say this again. We hear much of tolerance. Well, there is a Christian tolerance, but believe me, if you're tolerant about everything, you're in sin. There is definitely an intolerance that we must have as obedient followers of Jesus. Josiah certainly had this intolerance to sin. I want you to see how this thing starts to manifest. It states that he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. That was the first thing he did. Notice verse 5. He did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem, those who burn incense to Baal, to the sun, the moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry host. Now notice, who put those people there? His predecessors. Well, I mean, shouldn't he honor these people? I mean, after all, he's in the ministry. He's one with these kings. They put him there. It must be okay. Let's not rock the boat. Well, he wasn't too concerned about rocking the boat. He was concerned with seeking God with all of his heart and soul and might and strength. And even though they were a fellow king, they were wrong in the things they had done. So he wasn't playing around. He knew the seriousness of it. And he started to clean up the area. That was the second thing he did. Look at verse 6. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord. Notice, where was this idolatrous thing? The temple of the Lord. Just where the devil wants to strike. You know that. It's absolutely the truth. The devil wants to get right in there amidst the people of God. Some people think the devil wouldn't be anywhere around a group of Christians. Listen to me. The first one to the service on Sunday morning is the devil. He arrives long before the preacher. He's the last one to leave. He's trying to affect, in an adverse way, congregations like he did the temple of the Lord back at this particular time. Well, what did he do to this Asherah pole? Well, he took it from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem, and he burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. Hey, I mean, this guy, isn't he going to an extreme? Now, I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, wouldn't it just suffice to take it out of the temple and just throw it over there on the rubble? I mean, there's no need to burn it and scatter the ashes. Now, come on, Josiah. Moderation in all things. You ever hear that one? After I first got saved, my cousin's husband said that to me like he was quoting the Bible. He said to me, moderation in all things. Of course, he didn't know it was not in the Bible. You're certainly not to be moderate about your love and service to God. You're to love Him with everything you have. Josiah was commended for the way that he sought after God. And his actions were right. I saw this past week one of the most blasphemous t-shirts I've ever seen. At first when I saw it, I thought it was a Christian t-shirt. It was a cross. And I didn't see it real good. I saw the cross, and at the top of the cross there was a skull. Who put it out? The rock and roll group Guns N' Roses. A satanic rock and roll group. What a blasphemous t-shirt. Now, if I was that teenager's father, I think he was a teenager, maybe he was in his young 20s, early 20s, I'd say to him, off with the t-shirt, and now we're not going to put this in a garbage can. We're going to take this out and burn it. I think that would be an equivalency to what we see Josiah doing. Something as devilish as that shouldn't just be disposed of in an ordinary garbage-like way because it's not as good as ordinary garbage. It should be burned. And notice, this is how they did things. Remember at Ephesus in Acts 18 when all those sorcerers came to Jesus? They gathered up all that sorcery material and they burned it. Some things should be burned. Not just things for sorcery, but things for idolatry. I know that after I got saved and my mother came to the place where I could smash up the Jesus statue. Being a Catholic, we had a huge Jesus statue. And it was about this big. I took it down a basement, got a hammer, and smashed it up. You might be saying, now wait a minute, you're talking about a Jesus statue. Right, we shouldn't be trying to worship Jesus through an image. We're commanded in Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 20 not to have any kind of image around. We worship God without any kind of image. We don't need that. Much less a statue like that. It had the word venerate right on it, which is a synonym to worship. And I believe that statue got treated in perhaps a mild way to how Josiah would have handled it. I believe we need to rid our houses of things that we handled when we were in darkness. Now notice, what if it was a family member? I mean, wait a minute. How about some sentimental value here? Josiah never had that. He was seeking God with all of his heart. He didn't care what mom, dad, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, anybody had that might have had sentimental value to him. Somebody might not like it. Aunt Jessie might get upset. Uncle Henry might get mad. He didn't care. Should we care? If we're walking the way we should, we won't care. Wow! This guy here blesses me. And now notice, the story goes on. Look at verse 7. He also tore down. Now, we just read where he removed, he burned. Now we see he tore down. What an aggressive and violent kind of a person. He tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes which were in the temple of the Lord and where the women did weave for Asherah. Now notice, there were male prostitutes. Where were they residing? In the temple of the Lord. And there were women weaving for an idolatrous goddess, Asherah, probably is some kind of derivative of Ashtoreth, which is a female goddess that was worshipped in Old Testament times. They were weaving in the temple. I mean, what a stronghold the devil had. You know, I mean, you just stop and you think, wow, no wonder he ripped his clothes and he cried. He thought, what a filthy, vile mess this is. I believe one of the reasons that we could say unequivocally that America certainly is not Christian is the fact that there is so much spiritism rampant in our land and compromise with idolatry. They were certainly compromising with idolatry right here. Look at verse 8, the fifth thing he did. Josiah brought all the priests from the towns of Judah and desecrated the high places from Geba to Beersheba where the high priest had burned incense. Come on. King, can't you act a little more respectable? Why do you have to go to such an extreme? Certain things should be desecrated. Certain things should be burned, totally destroyed and wiped out. And we go on. Look at the next sentence. He broke down the shrines. There he goes, breaking down again. The shrines at the gates, at the entrance to the gate of Joshua. Well, I mean, what if it was a beautiful architectural design? Well, it was idolatrous. He broke it down. Beautiful architecture or not. Verse 9, although the priests of the high places did not serve on the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, they ate unleavened bread with their fellow priests. Verse 10, he desecrated Topheth, which was in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so no one could use it to sacrifice a son or daughter in the fire to Moloch. Okay, that's the seventh thing he did. He's more desecration. Seeking God with all of his heart. Verse 11, he removed from the entrance to the temple of the Lord the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. Please notice what I just read and the following verse. There's a real truth here. They were in the court near the room of an official named Nathan Melech. Josiah then burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. Now notice, were there anything wrong with the chariots? Anything wrong with the horses? No, only except they were dedicated to idolatrous practices. Therefore, remove them. Don't use them. This guy here wasn't going to use anything that was tainted. He wasn't playing around. We have a mighty reformer. I mean, in a drastic climate like this, it calls for drastic reaction. And he was right in the things that he was doing. Verse 12, he pulled down the altars of the kings of Judah that they had erected on the roof near the upper room of Ahaz, and the altars Manasseh had built in the two courts of the temple of the Lord. Manasseh went ahead and actually had altars built in the temple of the Lord. Now this is his grandpap. His granddad was Manasseh. He didn't have any respect for a relative that would do something that God hated. Why is it that the devil tries to use family relations, sentimental things, to try to get us from serving the Lord as we should? You get right down to it, we're all related. We all came from Adam. And the second father of mankind would be Noah. Eight people on the ark, the human race really started again through Noah. We're all related. First Adam, then Noah. We're all kin. If somebody's wicked and idolatrous, why in the world should we not serve God wholeheartedly because they might be a blood relative? Jesus said his only kin were those that did the Father's will. That was it. He didn't recognize his family in the natural, only his spiritual family. That was it. Manasseh, by the way, is a beautiful example of an Old Testament occultist that got saved. Manasseh did get saved. He was involved in witchcraft and sorcery, and he turned to the Lord. He did get saved. Unfortunately, after he told the people to repent, after he repented, they didn't do it. He had greatly, adversely affected the people. Josiah is not pulling any punches. He deals with the greatest, most idolatrous and wicked, Manasseh certainly being one, and another one. Verse 13, the king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south of the hill of corruption, the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the vile goddess of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the vile god of Moab, and for Moloch, the detestable god of the people of Ammon. Notice, Solomon sunk into deep, heavy idolatry in his old age. It says in 1 Kings 11, in his old age, his heathen wives turned his heart from God. In his old age, after serving God for decades, turned to vile, dark, idolatrous practices. Worshipped a female goddess and male god. Why? It all started to please his wives. They turned his heart from God. Clung fast to them in love. Loved them more than God. There's no evidence that he repented. I don't believe Solomon made it. He wrote part of the Bible, prayed, and fire came down of heaven. Sought God two times, says the account, 1 Kings 11. And yet afterwards, he actually promoted idolatry to this extent. Josiah wasn't playing around. It's coming down. He ripped it down. It was a stronghold. Notice how it's stated here. These were real strongholds. He didn't care what kind of God it was, if it was devil worship or not. You might as well say sacrificing your children to Moloch was like modern-day devil worship. Huh, who cares? It's contrary to the Word of God. Down it comes. This man was on the roll, so to speak. Verse 14, Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the sites with human bones. Again, related to Solomon. This was the 12th thing he did. Notice verse 15, this name Jeroboam comes up. Now you're about to find out how special Josiah really was, if you didn't already get a hint of it. Verse 15, even the altar at Bethel, the high place made by Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin, even that altar and high place he demolished. That is coming down. It's been here too long. You know how long? Over 400 years. Talk about a stronghold. Let's read on. He burned the high place and ground it to powder and burned the Asherah pole also. There he goes. He's going to an extreme again. Verse 16, then Josiah looked around, and when he saw the tombs that were there on the hillside, he had the bones removed from them and burned on the altar to defile it, in accordance with the word of the Lord proclaimed by the man of God who foretold these things. You see those last couple words? Who foretold these things? I said 400 years. Excuse me, it was 350 years later. This was fulfilled 350 years later. Now, he didn't go ahead and say, now, wait a minute. Wasn't there something written in Scripture about me? Now, what did it say? I think I'm going to have to fulfill this thing. Now, he went ahead and did as he felt he should, and it just so happened to line up with Scripture. Isn't that something, how it works? Accurately, in detail, said the person's name. Got specific. And what he would do. Got specific again. Back to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 19. Just as he had done at Bethel, Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines at the high places that the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. That was the 15th thing he did. Verse 20 shows the 16th thing that he did. Josiah slaughtered all the priests of those high places on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he went back to Jerusalem. Hey, this guy wasn't fooling around. What did he do? Killed these idolatrous priests. Slaughtered them. The prophet Samuel went ahead and pulled out a sword and killed King Agag. The man was defenseless, didn't even have a weapon. Ran him through. God never said one derogatory thing about Samuel because of what he did. This guy right here wasn't playing around. There's a time when you got to draw the line and say, enemy of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that in New Testament times we're to kill, as they did here. Paul and John and Peter didn't do that. But we use our sword, the Word of God. And we do kill by refuting with clear, sound argumentation based on Scripture, the things that they stand for. It's just as serious. Now, notice the 17th thing that went on. Verse 24. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. Not only what was out in public, but what was in the privacy of people's houses. It's time to clean out the closets, guys. Let's clean them out. What you got hidden away in the bedroom? Let's get that junk out of there. Handle it as it should be handled. We'll burn it and smash it and throw it away. Verse 25. Boy, I like this. This is the one I read before. If you didn't circle it then, circle it now. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. You know what? When you turn to God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, there's going to be some connection between your behavior and his. It's going to seem a little extreme, but it's really not. He was a reformer. Now I want to ask you a question. Very important question. What if it was you that was king? What if all of a sudden the secretary comes in and says, we found the lost Mosaic Book of the Law. Let me read you this. And you find out what has been so rampant throughout the country, entrenched in society, is a direct abomination and contrary to God's written word. What would you have done? I can imagine immediately how the devil must have put thoughts in his mind. Think about it a while, a month or two. Let's not really do as you think you should. Now, I mean, we could modify this message. It might say in the Mosaic Law that you're to smash and pull down and burn and desecrate and do these things. But I mean, whoa, let's look at this in a little bit kind of a milder way. What would you have done? Would there have been immediate action? There was on his part. You want to know how many people he affected? Well, the Bible isn't real specific, except to say all of them. All the people around that he was king over was influenced in a good way by him. Untold millions. Well, he reigned 31 years. Died at the age of 39. So he lived 39 years. But he sure affected many a person. He was aggressive and tolerant of sin. When I read people like him, when I do biographical studies, I like to ask myself some questions, putting myself in his shoes, considering the things that he was going through, the times. Just think how easy it would have been not to do much. See, he didn't have an example to follow. He didn't have anyone that he could really look to except the written word of God. You know, it's so much easier when you could actually see someone living and doing the things that God wants. A whole lot harder not to. He had a lot of things against him. But one thing he had settled in his heart like Joshua. As for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Whatever you do, well, between you and Almighty God, I am going to serve God. And that's it. He had one goal. One purpose. One objective in life, seeking God. Well, I want you to know something about revival, because here a national revival broke out. Can you imagine the times being so bad as it was then? You hear people speaking of revival, revival, revival. There's a revival coming. A revival is coming. Boy, I hope so, but I don't think so. You know how a national revival broke out? Can't get any clearer than what happened here with Josiah. Started with the Word of God. He read to all these people what the truth was based on Scripture, an emphasis on the Bible, the written word. Repentance followed. A forceful action against sin followed. Now let me sum up in a minute or two, just exactly what we read in 2 Kings 23. Listen to what this guy did, this godly man. He burned, ground to powder, desecrated, broke down, pulled down, removed, smashed, threw away, slaughtered heathen priests of the high places, and got rid of things in his effort, serving God and drawing closer to him. And he did it in a way unlike any king ever did before or after from the time of 2 Kings 23 when that was written about him. There were none like him that ever did it as he did. Nothing bad written about this man. He did, however, come to a very strange death. A pagan king, king of Egypt, was going to battle against Assyria, and since he was a vassal of Assyria, he felt he should go ahead and battle to some degree for the Assyrians. The pagan king told him, God will destroy you if you come against me. And believe it or not, that pagan king was speaking the truth. I'm sure it must have surprised him to find out that it must have really been true, because he was wounded in battle by archers and later he died in Jerusalem. What a godly man. Did he make his life count for God? You better believe it. I want to ask you a question. You making your life count for you, for God? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And when I am dying, I'll have it, I'll be. If the lamp of my life has been burnt out for thee. Somebody said, your life is like a coin. Spend it any way you want. Only spend it one time. Come judgment day, you're going to be one happy person if you sought the Lord with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Don't let anything get in the way. God, the God that will test his children, will see to it you're going to get tested. This man was. Nothing slowed him up. John the Baptist preached. Boy, he offended people. You go ahead and preach against sin, I'm telling you, people are going to get upset. But it's not a popularity contest. We're only trying to please God. Besides, it's not our message anyhow, it's his. We didn't write the scriptures, we're just trying to obey it. He's the one that came up with the message. All we do is tell others what the truth is. They get upset because they don't like God's truth. He's the one that wrote the book. He said in his heart, I am going to renew this covenant. And the demon said, oh, yeah? Not if we have anything to say about it. If you're really determined and you mean it, with the help and grace of God, you're going to keep your pledges and your word. You got to mean it. So many times people say things frivolously. Not him. I'm telling you right now, Josiah said, you're going to see things different. You need to change some things around the house. You got some household idols that you need to get rid of. Things that maybe mom or dad or grandma, grandpa, or some living relative might have had around that you kind of felt has some value, when in reality, according to the word, it has no value at all. Time to deal with it.
None of these tapes are copyrighted, and you have our permission and are encouraged to reproduce them for free distribution. For a complete catalog of other available tapes and materials, please write Evangelical Outreach, Box 265, Washington, PA 15301.